There's a lot of verses, though. If I go too fast, I have them all. So we're going to start in 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. God's love distinguishes us from all people who do not follow Christ. God's children are characterized by love for one another. We wait for the final realization of what we shall be through the work of Christ Jesus. Psalm 33:18. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. As I start each day, my wife and I pray every morning. I tend to pray for myself, for Stephanie, for my children, and a safe trip to work. I know that if I pray these things, everything is in the Lord's hands. As I contemplate the day on my drive to work, I get a little stressed, wondering what I'm going to walk into at my store. But by the time I get off at White Oak, I find myself praying for my employees for a covering of what I might say negatively to them. The Lord then shows me each morning that He loves me, He will take care of me, but I in return must treat everyone with love. This doesn't always happen, but just pausing for a split second and recognizing what the Lord wants me to do enables me to make right decisions before Him. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," He didn't just say, "For God loved the world." That "so" makes a huge difference in how, if we are to be expressions of Christ, we should act concerning other people and the environment surrounding us. Notice throughout the Bible the hope that God's disciples, prophets, and whoever else He wants to use brings shining His light to the world. His message through us should be that expression of love that He lavishes on us as chosen people. 2 John 1:6, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is this, that you walk in love." It is easier said than done, because we all know that we are at war with the enemy. In confidence, I know that God loves us no matter what we are going through. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but He allows things to happen to us for our own benefit, and more importantly, His glory. It is no coincidence that the Lord's Prayer states, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Joseph was an excellent example. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. God loved him and took care of him through all his hardships. He was his father's favorite son, and his brothers were jealous of him, so they sold him into slavery. Can you imagine if that happened to us? That would be like J.C. Dugard being locked up for 18 years. But Joseph was obedient no matter what happened to him. Even when he was thrown into prison by Potiphar's wife, Joseph's character exemplified God, and everyone he encountered knew this. Genesis 41:15-16, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answers he deserves." Whatever gifts God had given him, Joseph took no credit, thus glorifying God. Joseph eventually became one of the leaders of Egypt. Right before Jesus says possibly one of the most known verses in the Bible, John 3:16, He tells us in John 3:14-15, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life." In Numbers 21:6-9, "Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many of the Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We sinned when we spoke against the Lord, against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. When anyone was bitten by a snake and looked up at the bronze snake, he lived." Repeated complaints from the people brought God's just punishment. Repentance brought God's way for relief. The trust in God's chosen symbol lifted over the people brought the healing. Today our trust in God's lifted up Son brings our salvation. God has made it so simple for us because He loves us. We tend to cloud His shining light sometimes when trouble comes, but all we need to do is trust in Him and His unfailing love for us. God's love is shown in many ways. It is not always as profound as we'd expect it to be, although most of the time it is. 2 years ago, one of my employees gave me a dog, a little purebred puppy, Chihuahua. Christian named her Kona. The moment I drove home with her, I fell in love with her. It just felt like one of God's blessings. We hadn't had a dog before, but within a couple of days, she was just like family. The unconditional love that this dog has for me, me being the master, is unprecedented. She knows when I pull up after work, she will be waiting, scratching at the door uncontrollably until I come in, wagging her tail and jumping up, or just bowing her head so I could pet her. She will even wait for me before she eats. This is how much she loves me. That's how we should be with God, waiting for His answers, not doubting of His love for us. Trusting in Him for right decisions. Yearning for His love. And yearning for His acceptance. Psalm 103, 8-13. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. Fear plays a huge factor in a lot of our lives. Fear of dying, fear of living, fear of what tomorrow will bring. In Proverbs it says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. And Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then Psalm 104, 17 and 18, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant, and remember to obey His precepts. Daniel remembered, and so did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were captives. They all stood their ground for God, no matter what was thrown at them, whether not bowing down to idols or being on their special diet. They did what the Lord wanted them to do, and the Lord took care of them. Obedience keeps us close to God. Love and obedience are two sides of the same reality. They cannot be separated. Prayer keeps us close to God. In Deuteronomy 4:7, Moses told Israel, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? With love comes patience, and God is very patient in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, Paul describes love as this. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps not records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. As many times as each of us has probably read these verses or quoted them along with me, step back and reflect on what love is. God is love, and He is all this. When I step back and do a spiritual inventory on my life in present time, am I showing all this? Can I do all of this? No, I certainly cannot, but God can, and His Son lives in me. Jesus says in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words, it's a key word, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. To conclude, knowing that God loves us is comforting. We rejoice when we feel his presence. When good things come our way, we should be thankful, for all good things come from God. God loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us, so that he can have that direct fellowship with us through the Holy Spirit. When we feel downcast or something tragic has happened, know that God is in control. We can do nothing to change this except be obedient to his will. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Paul says in Romans to rejoice in our sufferings because it produces perseverance, character, and hope. Hope doesn't disappoint because God has poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And last, John 14:21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And then verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Amen.